Mr. Thompson.
Mr. Frimston.
It's a privilege to be sitting with you always.
Don't get to do this very often, do we?
Not in real life. I mean, some people watching this might think it's two AI bots brought together, but actually, we're in the same location.
We are, and I am really this good looking.
You are very handsome. We get very giddy when we're together. The reason we've been together is we've been doubling down on the podcast. We've had some brilliant guests recently. And I wanted to get you here. I wanted to sit you down. And I wanted to see what business lessons you've learned maybe over the last few months, because we've been picking the brains of some brilliant people whilst also running a business. So I'm sure we've learned a few things over the way. So we've had Daniel Priestley, Oliver Yonchev, Rory Sutherland. We had Julian Treasure, brilliant when it comes to like talking and listening. We had Derek Sivers. We've had some brilliant people. What has been some of the biggest lessons you've learned recently that have helped you in business and maybe in your personal life?
First of all, great question. I don't like you very much, but when you ask me a great question like that, I like you a little bit more.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm happy to say that. I think one of the ones that we've really put into action and seen the results from is Daniel Priestley's idea of, can you fail in a low stakes environment? And what does that really mean? Well, we set up a sister business, a sales consultancy. And what we were trying to see was, we think there's a gap here. Mm-hmm. Is there a way to find out if people are interested without doing the big launch, without getting out there, without hiring people, without doing all these different parts around it? So all we did was just created a landing page with a waiting list. And the waiting list was a very short doctor's style diagnosis of, what is the problem? What have you done to fix it? Why has that not worked? Who are you? And getting a list built up in the background of that, so you get the demand there before you even go live. And you know, a landing page was, I think it was about 20 quid, wasn't it? The landing page to set up, but rather fail at 20 quid than 20,000.
I think we get giddy, and I remember in the early days, you sometimes want to just run in and do everything. Like, let's set it up, let's get the registered business, let's do all of these things, spend a load of money. Oh, it's failed, let's move on. I think that's been one of the lessons of, you're kind of dipping your toe in the water, and you say they're like low stakes. I also think, like, for salespeople, we do a lot of this, but what can you do in a low stakes environment? So if you're sat there and you've got this like fear of rejection, I know they talk about rejection therapy, but what is a low stakes environment for you to get rejected? Is it asking for 50% off a coffee? Or is it asking, oh, can I join in your gym workout when you're in the gym? What's something that isn't going to end the world that you can do to like test that muscle? So I think that's a really, really good one. One of the ones that we talk about a lot, it came up with Dodge, it came up with Daniel, is whether the glass is half full or glass empty. Where would you say you sit on the glass analogy?
I actually think I'm more of a, I was saying this yesterday with Oliver, but I'm more of a gentle indifference. I expect things to happen as they happen, and everything feels like it's much more natural in that way. So if there is failure and shortcomings, well, there should be. And if there is success and, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're about to take off moments, well, I feel like there should be those as well. So I just try, and it's not always possible, I try and get myself in a state of accepting everything. But one of the things we were just talking about then was, if you're in a rhythm, well, it won't surprise you too much, will it? Mm. There should be a repeatable rhythm, and that way everything's predictable. Those big peaks and troughs in performance and mindset typically come from, you've got big peaks and troughs in performance. So you shouldn't be surprised that if it's uncertain the way you're doing things, the results are also uncertain.
Yeah, one of the biggest business lessons, obviously we've been going 3 years for our business now, is the little things compound. And I know that's it's probably basic advice, everybody knows it, but like you say, sweat the small stuff. But I don't think it's sweating the small stuff. There's like attention to detail. That's like one conversation. That's like your Steve Jobs painting in the back of the fence. But it's just like what can I do daily, or what can I do to move the needle? I think we've posted consistently on LinkedIn for the last 3 years, just one a day. I know sometimes I'll get excited and post 32 times in a day, but just by building that habit over time, you amass followers. Daniel was talking nicely about like the whole personal brand, and as much as it is a bit of a sickly phrase, just we've started to get to a point where people that follow us will recommend us, or will get referrals, and you go, I don't actually really know that person. So that's quite lovely. What have been some of the areas in your life where you've seen the compound effect?
In terms of doing the small things results in the... I think, well, my wife's gone into business recently, setting up her own practice as a therapist. And she's seen that through taking some of the things and posting on LinkedIn, that actually there's this audience there that's complementary of people who are maybe struggling salespeople, struggling business people, who might be looking for someone to help them with that mindset piece. So that's been like a real personal piece of impact that's happened there. But then I also think, I don't know if you've had this, when maybe hard or tough or challenging moments happen in your own life, in your personal life, they tend not to feel quite as blunt trauma as they once did. It can feel quite, okay, well, I deal with stuff that's much more high pressure, high frequency than this anyway, and I expect things to happen as they happen. What would you, I'll bounce that back to you, what would you say?
I think you're right. When you spend, we are probably guilty of this, but we'll get to a point where, I think there was a point maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, where I was like, the diary's quite like chilled, but everything was moving. So like we'd had our biggest month in terms of like clients onboarding and everything was chugging along, but it was like quite quiet and the team were really performing and we were like out, all the things were happening. But I felt nervous because it was like, it's too quiet. I think when you spend a lot of your time in like firefighting mode and there's always a problem, those moments of calm can sometimes be worrying. But one of the things I said, we've been doing this consultancy with a client that's made their first deal, that's been brought in, and I really took a moment to be like, one of the biggest pieces of advice is smell the roses. Like, don't be it might have been Confucius that said it, but when you're galloping through on the horse, take a moment to smell the roses and just like enjoy where you are in that moment. Like, celebrate the wins, because you can't just have that tunnel vision of like, because if you're working towards the top of the mountain, you'll get to the top and then there'll be another mountain and another and another. And I think it's reminding yourself in those moments of like, what is enough?
Yeah, your body can't distinguish where the dopamine's come from. It just knows dopamine.
Yeah.
So it can't distinguish the big wins and the small wins. It can't distinguish whether it's sex or chocolate. You know what I mean? Like, it can't distinguish the difference between those. So I think that's really important to have those moments of it, just letting yourself enjoy it, letting yourself enjoy the journey. Because as a wise man said, you're going to die.
You're going to die. And being honest, mate, I think I could tell the difference between chocolate and sex, but that's a podcast.
It's not what your girlfriend told me.
For another day. what are you, so you've just done 3 years in business, from bedroom to boardroom. I know it's not a boardroom, but we'll say that because it sounds cold.
Sounds nice.
What are you excited about for maybe like the next 2 years? The 5-year mark in business is a big one.
How much can we give away?
You can tease people.
Okay. The consultancy has some things on the horizon that we're going to add. Probably the trajectory of the growth with We Have a Meeting is that we will hire out some additional functions within the business that do things that we've never done before, that can complement us in areas where perhaps we don't have really any experience. Mm-hmm. But with that, we're spotting that a lot of our clients are coming from other parts of the world that aren't in the UK, which probably at some point lends itself to, do we need to plant our flag in the sand somewhere else? And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay. We're moving house.
What about you? Let me back that back to you, mate.
Well, I actually had a different question that I wanted to ask, and I bat it back to you, and then you can bat another question
back to each other. Yeah.
Back. This is going to be a question that might blag your head, and it might annoy you, and you might want to fight me in the room, and you might not want to go and get lunch from me after this. If you're predicting the future, what lesson do you think that you're going to learn within the next couple of years in business?
I think that everyone has their place, and it's fine if I have a thing that I can't do or a shortcoming that I can't do, it's fine for someone else to pick up that slack. And likewise, there's things that I'll be able to do that someone else might not, and that shouldn't be me taking it out on them for not being able to offer that or do that. So I shouldn't be expecting people to do everything. I should be just expecting them to exist in their own lane.
Wow. I don't think you need to learn that lesson. I think you've learned it, and you've actually learned it well, and the way you articulated yourself was beautiful.
Thank you. What about you, mate? Because you seem like you've got something wrong with you.
There's nothing wrong with me. I'm just giddy. I'm excited. I'm excited to grow. I think we're on a tipping point. Like, in all of our conversations, there's been this hint of AI, hasn't there? And I think we said to Daniel off air, like, AI is probably going to change the way people sell. But I also think that 98% of salespeople are shit. So I think if you're in the 2% that are really good, that know their craft, that know what to do, they understand. Sales is just psychology and mindset and communication. And you're really good, you won't struggle. And it's about knowing when to use AI. Like we're not sat here saying, oh, we don't like AI, we're kind of behind the times. I use it for so many kind of menial tasks and things that will help. And it's like, here's all my thoughts, take it and make it better. Mm-hmm. Or you can use it to brainstorm and be creative. I think the best salespeople are going to be like, how do we incorporate it there? But get good at communication. So many people we're in London at the moment, walking around on their phone, walking into lampposts. It's like, learn how to sit, be still, be with your own thoughts, and have a genuine conversation with other people. That is a skill that I think we forget about.
I agree. If sales done properly is therapy, probably wouldn't want to go to an AI therapist.
No, I would not.
And listen, I'm not going to leave you with any weird task today.
No.
Because I don't think we need to. But I just want to ask one last question before I let you go.
I'm nervous.
What is wrong with you?
We're waiting on the results, but I'll let you know. I think it's the same thing you've got.
I think so too.
Thank you.